they ate in Kate's suite, which was as dull as everything else she'd seen so far. She didn't see the good of silk on the walls if it was gray. Kate looked up at Brunn halfway through a main course of some nondescript meat with a lot of fancy vegetables heaped over it. They hadn't even had steak on the menu.
You people don't much like bright colors, do you?
Brunn looked around.
This isn't very bright, is it? I'm used to it, I guess. Castle Rock is pretty conservative.
That's what you call it? That Foreign Office is like a funeral home. Only color in it is your minister, and he's...
Oh, he's awful. Such a little climber.
Climber?
Oh, yes. Minor family. So he pushes and climbs, tries to make himself bigger. Well, he got a ministry, though who knows what he did for Hobart to get it.
Hobart's your speaker?
Right. But Pater wants more. Oh, you wouldn't believe. He's after my mother.
Lord Thornbuckle's widow.
Your mother?
Yes. He had the nerve to tell me when Mother'd left for Cerealis that he could now offer so much to a lonely widow. Oh, I nearly threw him out the window.
I wondered if maybe he was, what is it? I mean, with all those rings and that shirt.
No, the rings are rejuvenant rings. They're actually the medical codes. They can be implanted or worn, but a lot of people like to wear them.
How many times has he been pickled?
I don't know. I didn't count. Several. Why do you call it pickled?
Kate held up one of the wrinkled green things she hoped was a pickled cucumber.
Preserved, you know? Last nearly forever.
Brunn ate silently a few minutes.
What do you make of our speaker?
Kate looked at her, mind on full alert.
You're asking a visitor to criticize your government?
He's a Consuline, and we're in the Barraclough Sept.
Is that families or religion?
Maybe both. Let's just say that the Consulines and the Barraclough have been rivals for a long time, in sort of a genteel sort of way. I don't like Hobart, but I wondered if maybe an outsider would see him more clearly.
He's nobody I'd buy a ranch from, not without walking over every inch of it and checking the title since God made it. He's got a mean mouth, and his wife's scared of him.
You saw that?
Oh, heck yes! Just like I saw that you didn't like Pater with the rings and ruffles holding your hand when he led you over. But you wanted to talk to me.
You don't miss much, do you?
That's my job, ma'am. Now, why don't you get down to what you really wanted to talk about, so we can enjoy dessert later and not have to tippy-toe?
Kate pushed her plate away and leaned back, fixing Brunn with the look that had brought confessions out of the Harkness boys. Brunn pushed her own plate back.
Oh, I hate it when everyone is smarter than I am.
They aren't, when you leave your brain on. It didn't take a lot of intelligence to recognize that you wanted to meet me as much as I was glad to meet you.
You haven't met Esme. She's smarter.
Kate ran her hands through her hair, fluffing it out.
Oh, spare me. I've heard plenty about Miss Genius on the trip over here. Everyone says she's so wonderful. And I'll bet she is, but she isn't you.
No.
Lord, girl, you sound like you haven't got a friend in the world. Didn't you ever have a best friend?
Yes. No, but she got married.
Oh, brother. You and me both. Sally and I were closer than twins. And then she went goopy all over Carl, and that was the end of it. Two babies. She says she's still my friend, but all she wants to do is tell me about those two rugrats, which one put jam in the processor, and how the other one is smarter than any 10 college professor, blah, blah. My mother told me she'll come out of it in a few years, but in the meantime, I have to pretend to care what some grubby little kid is doing.
And you don't?
No. If there's supposed to be some instinctive maternal drive, I missed out at the feed trough. What about you?
Oh, me neither. Oh, I don't want to hurt them, but...
You didn't want to care for them either. Makes sense to me. Now, where are your boys?
A friend of my mother's took them. Found a home for them. But I worry.
Don't. I mean, don't worry more than you have to. And you're evading the subject. You didn't just accept a dinner invitation because you thought a stranger might be lonesome. You just about committed the impossibility of telepathic communication. Want me to figure out a way we could talk?
Or to get away from Pater. He's been wanting Mother's answerable call number. All right, all right. I'll tell you. I want to find out who killed my father and what kind of hold Hobart Consuline has on my Uncle Hollis, who's after my father's estate.
Now that's smart. That's a goal we can work on.
We?
Of course we. Hell's bells, sweetheart. I'm not gonna leave you to hunt this hog alone. And I need you to help me find my way through this maze of protocol y'all live with. Besides, if you come out convinced that I'm not a monster, maybe you'll help me get your government to lit up on Lone Star Confederation funds. You did know our citizens can't access their money in your banks, didn't you?
No. When did that happen?
Right after the assassination. And all our citizens expelled and the borders closed. Even your father realized we had nothing to do with that bunch of idiots who captured you. This embargo thing has put a real crimp in our economy. The Familius is our biggest external trading partner.
I didn't know. It didn't come up in the council meeting. A lot of things seem to be happening without coming up before the council.
Kate glanced around the room. She had made it as secure as possible, but she didn't trust any public space.
Maybe we ought to talk about this another time. Tell you the truth, I'm feeling the journey.
She noticed that Brun's gaze slid around the room, too, as if she were also aware of these surveillance possibilities.
Of course. Listen, I know some of you Lone Star people ride...
Ride, hun? I started riding before I could sit up. In fact, before I was born. Don't tell me they have horses in this city.
They do, but what I had in mind was our place out in the country. It's only a small stable, but we have some lovely views.
Why, that's right nice of you. I don't know how busy I'll be here. I'm supposed to spend my time convincing your government that we're harmless.
I'll introduce you to people, and it won't be all boring afternoon receptions like today's.
It wasn't that bad, under the circumstances.
Within a week, Kate had moved to Appledale. Brun took her to dinner with Victor Barraclough and hosted a garden party where she met a group of less senior Barraclough relatives. The Lone Star woman seemed unfailingly cheerful, brisk, and friendly. She persisted in wearing screamingly bright colors and spent a long time every morning arranging her hair into its vast poof. But aside from that, she might have been an old friend. Brun found herself explaining, over breakfast or in the intervals of their social commitments, everything she knew about the family business and her uncle's machinations. The next time Harless visited, Brun saw the ranger in action for the first time. Kate waved off the maid and went to the door herself. Brun paused to see what would happen, stepping back so that she couldn't be seen from the door.
Hi, I'm Kate Brierly.
I want to see Brun.
Oh, well, that may be, but I don't know who you are.
Brun was fairly sure that wasn't true. She'd shown Kate ID pictures.
Harless Thornbuckle. Now go call Brun for me.
Now, Mr. Thornbuckle...
That's Lord Thornbuckle.
Back where I come from, it's not considered polite at all for a gentleman to push his way past a lady.
You're no lady, and you hurt me.
Be that as it may, you pushed at me, and that just won't do. Now you be nice and just wait there a minute, and I'll see if Brun has time to see you.
She'd better, or I'll...
No threats. Y'all know Brun's still under formal guard for any threat to her safety. You'd hate to be hauled off kicking and hollering to spend the night in jail.
Brun came down another few steps to see Kate standing with her back to the door, shaking with silent laughter.
You shut the door on Uncle Harless.
Oh, I truly hope your father was a better man than that, Brun, because that man is all hat and no cattle where brains are concerned.
Oh, a lot better. But I'd better talk to him.
Brun reached for the door and Kate stopped her.
No, go into the drawing room and sit down in something comfortable.
Brun complied, realizing halfway there what Kate was about.
You can come in now. Brun's in the drawing room.
Harless stormed into the drawing room.
Where is your mother?
Brun carefully thought of the possibilities. Her mother might be in bed, or eating, or out riding, rather than the certainty that her mother was somewhere on Cerealis.
I'm not sure.
Damn it! She has no right to take family property while the will's in question.
What property, Uncle Harless?
Cerealis. I'll wager that's where she is.
It's a large universe, Mr. Thornbuckle. Why do you think she's there? And what difference would it make if she was? She can't take off with the whole planet.
Harless glared at Kate, his face reddening.
Well, she better not remove anything from the property. I have an injunction.
Brun felt cold to the marrow.
An injunction? Not to dispose of property? In other words, not a dismissal of the original will?
Not that it's any of your business, no. She's enjoined from disposing of any of the property under dispute until the case has been decided.
Suppose you just let me see that, Mr. Thornbuckle.
Kate reached out an imperious hand. To Brun's surprise, her uncle put a hard copy into it. Kate looked it over, one penciled eyebrow elevated.
It may be legal here, but it sure wouldn't be legal back home. Y'all have a really strange legal system, with no proper constitution. But I guess you'll have to send Lady Thornbuckle a message about it.
You don't scare me.
Harless lurched out of the chair, grabbing the hard copy from Kate on his way to the door.
I don't think much of your security, letting that man up to the door without warning us.
He's my uncle.
And you never have family murders here? No, never mind. It's time I went to work.